Let his steely eyes frighten you. Edward McKendry Bounds. Anyone ever hear of E.M. Bounds? Okay, one, maybe? One? Oh, two, okay. That's good. E.M. Bounds is a guy who was a, he wanted to be a lawyer, and he went off to go to law school, but then he was called by God into the ministry, and he served as a chaplain during the Civil War. And actually, he was a prisoner of war during that time. But during his life, he wrote 11 books, and 9 of which focus on the subject of prayer. His best-known, Power Through Prayer, is one of the truly great masterpieces of prayer. Anyone, Power Through Prayer, anyone maybe read that? I would recommend it to all of you. It's actually a small little book, and he says this, in the book, one of the lines, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more novel methods, but people whom the Holy Ghost can use, people of prayer, mighty in prayer. The Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit does not flow through methods, but through people. He does not come upon machinery, but on people. He does not anoint plans, but people. People of prayer. And I was thinking about this. It kind of came to my mind as we've been going through these 40 days of prayer. And I'm thankful that the church is encouraging that, and it's in the bulletin. If you want to check it out, read the devotional, spend some time praying, just thinking about those things. I would encourage everyone to do that. It's real easy, real simple to get to. And it comes to your phone every day, if you'd like. You know, when we talk about prayer, the Bible records a wide variety of types of prayer. Adoration, thanksgiving, confession, praise, request, lament is a form of prayer. All kinds of ways we talk with God and we hear from Him and we pour our hearts out to Him. But one of the more common ways is that we've probably been all involved with at some point is intercessory prayer. And intercessory prayer involves praying for others. That's when we're not praying for ourselves, but we're actually praying for other people. Sometimes people will request our prayers. You know, pray for me. I've got this job interview. Or pray for me. I've got my child is sick. Or pray for this or pray for that. And people will often request prayers from one another. Even if they're not like involved in churches or anything, people will commonly, you know, ask people to pray for them. And sometimes we'll say, yeah, okay, I'll pray for you. And then sometimes we'll pray for them. But not always. And I was thinking about this too, and I have to confess in my own life that I'm guilty of that. People will say, well, pray for me, would you? And I'll say, sure, I'll pray for you. And then I don't. I never really pray for it, a person. And that's not good, and I'm trying hard not to be more consistent in that. And if I say I'm going to pray for someone, I'm really going to do it. I'm going to make time and take this need to the Lord and pray on their behalf and intercede for them. We are told to pray for, in this intercessory way, one another. This is from the Bible. The Lord's people, we're told to pray for believers who fall into sin, for those who persecute us, we're to pray for, and for those who are in authority. And that's just some. I'm sure there are more. Those are the ones that came to my mind that we're told explicitly in Scripture to pray for these people, these categories of people, and intercede for them. But in addition, we often pray for those who are suffering. We pray for the spiritually lost. We pray for the sick. And we pray for those who are in need in a variety of ways. So this morning, I want to look at a passage in Colossians chapter 4, where actually the Apostle Paul asked people to pray for him. Now, if I saw Paul, I would say, Paul, look, you don't need me praying for you. You need to pray for me. Being an apostle, having, you know, stories about Paul praying and seeing miraculous healings, all kinds of things he did in the authority. He cast out demons and all kinds of things. I would want him interceding for me. But Paul actually asked regular church-going people in among the Colossian believers to pray for him. And his request was specifically in regard to regarding evangelism, outreach. And so that's what we're going to look at today in just a minute. If you want to look in your Bibles, you can. Colossians, let's see, it comes after Ephesians and Philippians, and then you come to Colossians. Colossians chapter 4, it'll be on the screen here in just a moment. But in Colossians, as he gets to the end of his letter, what follows is some advice about interacting. And we'll see that in just a moment. Interacting with outsiders or unbelievers. And it seems that the prayer request is couched in this context of evangelism and in relating to people who do not believe in Jesus. Paul writes from within a prison cell in Rome in 60 AD, the same year he wrote the letter to the Ephesians. And if you read Ephesians and then read Colossians, you'll look at it and say, hey, he just said a whole bunch of things to the both groups that are the same. And that's probably because he wrote them maybe very close to each other in time, and the same thoughts were in his mind. The organization of the letters is very similar, the patterns in them, how he moves through them in his letter to each of them. So they're very close and very similar in the things that he says. But in Colossians 4, beginning in verse 2, he says this: devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So Paul first calls the Colossian believers to devote themselves to prayer. And why does he need to say that? Because we naturally don't do that. Now, maybe some people do, but most people don't. I don't. I have to consciously keep coming back to this call to prayer that we find in the Bible, because it just doesn't happen for me like I just, oh, I'm going to go spend an hour in prayer. You know, well, that's a real problem for me. It's hard. A lot of me, I think, doesn't really naturally like that. But part of me, the Spirit of God in me and the Word of God is calling me, not necessarily to spend an hour, but to pray on a regular basis and to be devoted to it. The idea of devotion here means to give constant attention to and unrelenting persistence. And I don't know if that is true in your life or not, but I struggle with it, honestly. But I keep coming back to it. And I make time for prayer. I carve it out as best I can. Sometimes I don't meet that, but I keep coming back and I keep at it because I'm told to in the Scriptures. And there's reasons that we need to pray. Here's a few of them Paul's going to talk about, but there's many reasons. You know, if you can just be praying for yourself. One of the prayers I often have each day is that the Lord just keep me on track. Lord, just keep me in your will. Don't let me get tempted off. Don't let me respond badly to people. help me to walk by the Spirit and not by my natural sinful nature. So I pray for myself. I pray for my family. Lord, be with my wife. Thank you for my wife. Watch over her. Keep her safe. I pray for my children. Those prayers just do kind of come naturally. But taking time and specifically asking God's blessing, God's provision, God's guidance in their life is something I try to do every day. And they're not eloquent prayers. They're just things from the heart. But I do that, and I encourage everyone to do that for the family. And then I pray for the church. I pray for the church here. And I pray for God's blessings and guidance and the same kind of things, his provision. Thanking him for the wonderful people who are here and their faithfulness and their persistence and their love for him. So I pray for that. And then if there's people I know who are in need, I take time and I just pray for them. And it's not hard and it's not complicated, but sometimes we just, like in my life, I just have to keep coming back to it because I easily, I easily get distracted. it's just like a dog, you know, what? A squirrel, you see that? See the squirrel? It's like off. It's just distract. Oh, there's another one. I'll go there. I get distracted in my life sometimes, and I try to, this brings me back to focusing on the Lord and seeking his help. So, and it is far, it's easy for prayer to become neglected in our lives. And I would say it's, I believe from what I read in the scriptures and what I see and have experienced is that I don't think a lot of Christians really enter into the kind of prayer life that is available to them according to the scriptures, and the answers to prayer and the results of prayer that could come if there was a stronger devotion to prayer. I think this is true both as individuals, families as well. Praying with your family is important. It may feel awkward at times if you've not done that, but it's a powerful thing to do. It's powerful. And even if it's just real simple, it doesn't have to be long or, you know, eloquent. It's just simple prayer. Hey, we're going to just pause. We're going to just pray and ask God to watch over us and guide us and keep us safe and just thank him for this wonderful day. But churches, too. The church can become neglectful collectively. And I was thinking about this. I just came to mind the Christians in South Korea. And how the churches there, and this has gone back a few years, really just grew and saw all kinds of conversions and God answering prayer. And it's because the church there said, we're going to take this prayer thing seriously. The churches, multiple churches across denominational lines, and they would have lots and lots of prayer meetings. They had people praying around the clock in their churches. The churches were open all the time. They had different people coming in. Now, I'm not saying everyone's going to do that, but I'm saying the result was all kinds of fruit, spiritual fruit, to produce a strong, vibrant church in South Korea. And I think it's tied to their commitment to prayer. Also, before we really start looking at this, Paul is doing nothing here that is more than, in this first verse, following Jesus. All we're doing is following Jesus in this, and we are Jesus followers as Christians, because in the Gospels we know that Jesus made time for prayer. Luke 5:16, he often withdrew to lonely places to pray. So a lonely place might be another room. It might be pulling off the road and in a park or somewhere of just making time to focus and to speak with the Lord and to pray and to hear from him and to, you know, bring your cares and needs to him. And like I said in the beginning, there's a variety of ways to pray. It may be a time to lament to the Lord, your sorrow, your loss. It may be a time just to say, thank you. Lord, I just thank you for the ways you've blessed me in my life. Lord, I'm just thankful, you know, that I have the promise of eternal life and that I have provisions and I have friends and, you know, whatever it is. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and to pray. And when we are devoted to prayer, we're just simply following his pattern. As well, he taught his disciples how to pray, and he encouraged them to do so. But they were awful at it too, remember? Jesus goes to Gethsemane. He says, I'm going to go over here and pray for a while. I want you guys to stay here and keep watch with me. And he goes over there and he comes back and they're asleep. He goes again and they're asleep. He goes to pray some more and they're asleep again. This shows you what we our natural tendency. So that the prayer, even with Jesus. Now, if Jesus said, hey, look, I want you to pray, I think I'd probably be able to stay awake. I don't know. If he told me that. But they didn't. And they did just kind of really drop the ball on that. But it shows you the challenge that prayer can be, I believe. Again, as I mentioned in verses 5 and 6 here, the context kind of tells us that it's in this setting of evangelism. It seems he's talking about evangelism here when he says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace and that you may know how to answer everyone. Peter says a similar thing. He says, in terms of answering people, be ready to give an answer to those who ask you about your faith. So I think he's talking about outreach and evangelizing unbelievers in the context, but he doesn't say it specifically, but I think that is what he's doing. So it's Paul's prayer request that I want to talk about here, what he's actually asking for in these verses, in verses, let's see here, verses 3 and 4. What he's asking about. And so the first thing he's asking for is an opportunity to share the gospel. Verse 3, pray for us too that God may open a door for our message. He says there in verse 3. He wants an opportunity. That's what an open door means. He wants an opportunity. He was in prison. Okay, he's in prison. He's probably chained up, and he's saying, I want, instead of saying, oh Lord, get me out of here. Oh Lord, I'm afraid. Help me. I want to be free. Instead of praying, saying, no, I want you to pray for evangelistic opportunity. And that really says something, because I probably would have prayed for something else. And I wouldn't have been praying for the salvation of these people at first. It probably would have taken some time for the Lord to bring me to that, but I probably would have prayed other things for them. Like, let them fall asleep and let me out of here or something. But Paul's mindset is for opportunity. And praying for opportunity is important because it helps us to see opportunities in our own lives. Okay? Opening doors for us to share what we believe. Not only do our prayers bring God's power to bear in our lives, but praying for opportunities makes us aware or conscious of the occasions that present themselves because we are thinking about it. So that's a good reason to follow Paul in this and say, okay, I'm going to try this. I'm going to pray for opportunities. Now you might say, well, I don't know if I want opportunities because that's a little scary. What am I going to say? I'll get it all wrong. I'll make the person mad. All kinds of ideas like that come to our mind, I know. But what if we followed Paul in this and said, Lord, this coming week, I pray that you give me some opportunities to share my faith, just to share what I believe, share that I believe, and to share what Jesus has done in my life and the changes he's made. You have to be a bit daring to do that. Now, I know Paul is a pretty confident person in this regard, but maybe we're not so much, and we'll talk a little bit about that too. But praying for opportunities also acknowledges God's sovereignty. Paul knows that it is God who is ultimately in control and can open doors for the gospel. One of our jobs in evangelism is to pray. One of God's roles is to orchestrate the circumstances that provide the opportunities. Okay? So if we pray, we can wait and see for God to open those doors and lead us to people and produce opportunities to share the gospel. Not only does Paul want them to pray for him to have an evangelistic opportunity, he also wants them to pray that he would do what in verse 4? That he would proclaim it clearly as I should. Now, to me, that's a bit surprising. Why would Paul the apostle need any more clarity about the gospel? I mean, my goodness, he wrote the book of Romans. He wrote Galatians. He wrote all these books. Jesus appeared to him. He had a vision. He knew what the gospel was. He knew what it was. But he also knew that it's easy to be misunderstood. Even if you know it perfectly, it's easy for other people to misunderstand that and not follow it. Jesus, in the parable of the sower of the seed, in Matthew 13, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. So in the parable about the four soils, he says one of the things is that the message will go out, but people won't understand it. So this is a real possibility. People's minds don't always get the gospel. It took me a while to get it. I had to hear it several times before it, in a sense, worked in my life. And God did a work in my heart and spirit. But I was pretty dense. I was slow to learn, that's for sure. And I heard it here. I went to church for years, you know, but it wasn't until that one day out in Southern California, and I went to a music concert, and one guy got up, and he was just a regular guy. He wasn't even that good of a speaker, I don't think. But he just started talking about the gospel and how Jesus died on the cross and gave us the opportunity for forgiveness, and if we would receive him, if we believe in him and believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, that we could be saved. And I said, well, and truthfully, it was like, well, I don't know about all that, but something is happening in my heart right now. Something, my physical heart, in my spirit, something is happening. And I sense God drawing me to this message. So I responded to it in the way that was given. Come up and pray with us. And that's what I did. So I prayed with them. And then I said, great. Thank you very much. This has been great and fun. But then things got weird in my life. They just changed. Desires changed. I wanted to go back to church. I didn't want to go to church much before. I wanted to go. I wanted to hang out with the Christians that I knew and not the rest of the ones who just always, ran off to went as soon as we pulled in the port, went to the bars, you know, and sought out other forms of entertainment. I wanted to go to visit the churches, which is really strange, you know, as I look back at it now. But God was working in my heart, and it was through that step of faith that it began. Okay? But I guess going back to my point is, it took a while for me to understand. And I was blessed to be able to hear the gospel multiple times, so it finally was able to sink in, and God used that to change my life dramatically. And I praise him for that. I praise him for that, what he did for me. So these are two things that Paul recognizes, or rather requests prayer for. He wants open door, he wants opportunity, and he wants clarity. And we can pray for clarity as well. It is important It's important to kind of learn and try to know what you're going to say, I think. I also think it's good to realize that God will help you. God will give you the words to speak. But we do want to try to learn how to share the gospel with people, what the gospel is, the message of the cross, and it's by faith, and it's not by good works. It's by receiving Jesus into our life. And so we want to be doing that. I don't know if any of you have ever had any training in how to share the gospel, but it's really good. Maybe you've used tracts, Four Spiritual Laws, or something like that, that walk you through it, the bridge, the navigator's bridge diagram. If you pray for opportunity and God gives you opportunity, then you got to kind of be ready a little bit to say, okay, well, what would I say if someone asked me about my faith? What would I say? What would you say? How does a person become a Christian? Could you articulate that? If you say, well, no, I don't know that I could, or I'd be too afraid. Don't be worried. Don't go to pieces. It's okay. Everyone's afraid to do it. Everyone is nervous, I think. But you can learn, and it's pretty simple, really. It's not complicated. It's just learning the basics of the gospel, what it is, and just learning to be able to share what God's done in your life. And that's easy, because it's just your story. You know, and no one can take that away from you, your testimony, how you became a Christian. This is what happened to me in my life. So the important thing I also think is to remember that is times change, and we're in our culture and society is changing all the time. But the gospel does not change. And people's need to hear it does not change either. We are saved through faith in believing in Jesus Christ. Without the gospel being shared, people do not hear. People who don't go to church, people who don't watch Christian TV, they're never going to hear it. Many people you and I work with are not going to hear the gospel unless someone shares it with them. And so that's what we're called to do. And so I do pray for opportunity, and I look for those opportunities, and God has given me opportunities. Now, I know for me it's easier. Yeah, I was a pastor for 33 years. I have training and all that stuff, and I get that. But really, anyone can share just the basics and say, hey, this is what God did in my life. We see that actually in the scriptures, where a man who was healed, some people came to him, and he said, look, this is what he did in my life. I don't know much more than that about him. They were asking if he was the Messiah, I think, and the guy said, well, I don't know, but I'll tell you what I do know. Once I was blind, but now I see. He came to me, and he helped me, and he changed my life. And sometimes that's all we really need to tell people. Because I'll tell you this, there's a lot of people looking to change their lives right now. They've come to find out they're empty, filled with pain and sorrow. They don't have direction. Their lives are just chasing after this pleasure, that pleasure, pleasure, this money, more money, this experience, that experience, but they're not satisfied because those things aren't designed to satisfy your heart. The thing that can only satisfy your heart, Augustine was right about this, is coming to peace with God. That's the only thing, coming back to peace with God, with our Maker, and receiving Jesus into your life. And if you do that, hang on, because your life is going to change in a very, very good way. There's one more thing Paul asks about, and this is maybe, we'll ask for prayer, and it has to do, it is boldness in sharing the gospel. Maybe you've been in a situation when you knew you had an opportunity to share the gospel or your testimony with someone. You maybe even felt in your heart that God wanted you to do that, and yet you were just too afraid. I've had that experience. It's a terrible experience to go through. I think many believers have been there at least once. But it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It only means you're human. And like Christians from the very beginning, we can be worried about what others will say, what others will think, our relationship, what will they think about us. And so we need boldness for this as well, more than most of us can muster in our own efforts. And so in this other letter, ignore that Acts 4 on there. That's errant. But in Ephesians 6, is when the companion letter like this, the one that was very much like Colossians, Paul says this: pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. He was in prison. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Fearlessly or boldly. Really, Paul? You're not fearless? You seem fearless to me. Well, yeah, no, I do need it. I need courage and boldness too, because people fear the ramifications of sharing the gospel. It can sometimes disrupt things with relationships. So Paul had to pray for this. As well, the apostles prayed for this as well. And there it is. The apostles, after they had seen Jesus and all that, and they were being threatened. Yeah, they said, you guys be quiet and don't talk about Jesus or you're all going to jail or worse. And now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness, after they prayed and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did they do? They spoke the word of God boldly. So, if the apostles and Paul needed to pray for boldness, I think I do too. I think I do too. I've never seen the risen Jesus. I've never had those kind of dramatic healings with people, but they have. So if they needed boldness, I need it much more. And probably most of us here do need that. We need to pray for boldness. We need to pray for an open door. We need to pray that God would, clarity. That God would give us the words, that we would share properly what the gospel is, and that he would give us the boldness not to be afraid. I think it's this third one that keeps most people from witnessing. I think this is what, this fear is what really silenced the church in our day. I think the church has been greatly silenced in its evangelistic voice. Not our church, I'm not talking about that. The church in America. The church in America seems to be more apologizing for itself than boldly proclaiming the gospel. That's what I see. And I think that's not a good place to be. We have the message of the gospel, and the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. That has not changed. It is the means by which people can be reconciled to God, have peace, joy, in their life, can be renewed and regenerated by the Holy Spirit and have the kind of life God intended them to have. But this fear is a very real thing. Rico Tice, in his book Honest Evangelism, admits his regret. He says his grandmother died, and then he writes this story about it. She had no faith in Christ. My brother and I were the only Christians in the family at the time. My brother broke down in tears when he did the Bible reading at the funeral. I was the only one who knew why. She died without Christ. Why didn't I tell her about Christ? I've come to realize that I was afraid of what she would say, and I was afraid of what my family would say, because they think it was inappropriate. I was afraid. Well, we may all be afraid, but the Lord can give us boldness. Absolutely, he can give us boldness if we ask. And so, you know, as we think of intercession and intercessory prayer, first of all, our you know, the one thing about our church here is that it really gives us many opportunities. Even this morning, we were given opportunity and prayed in an intercessory way for some new believers in Bosnia, right? We prayed for them, and that's good. That's what we're supposed to do. I think the church makes a great need and does a great job in making needs known. Much better than most churches, I would say. But the question comes then, are we praying? Do we take those prayers, requests seriously, and do we actually pray? And then for evangelistic opportunity, are we willing to seek the Lord and Paul, after the way Paul prays, to pray for opportunity, to pray for clarity, and to pray for boldness? Are you willing to dare and go out there and walk that road and see what happens? It could be the most exciting and time of your life. There's nothing more joyful than sharing the gospel with a person and seeing them come to Christ, in my experience. Just sharing the gospel itself is an amazing experience. Even if the person says, no, I don't think I'm ready for that. Thanks, but no thanks. The fact that you've shared your faith is so rejuvenating and so exciting. This is my experience. And I just think everyone should have that and should look for these opportunities. So I encourage you to dare to pray for opportunity, for clarity and boldness in sharing Christ. Let's take a moment right now and just bring these things to the Lord in prayer. Father, you know us. You know everything about us, Lord, so there's no surprises. You know our fears. You know our challenges, Lord, our weaknesses. You know where we are even now in relationship to you. And Lord, I pray, Father, that if there's anyone here today who's outside of a relationship with you, that you would just show them how much you love them. Lord, let your love roll over them in their hearts, Lord, and just draw them to yourself through your love. Help them, Lord, to understand that you died for their sins and to reconcile them to you, that you could have peace with God. And Lord, give us these things that Paul asked for, Lord. Give us opportunity, Heavenly Father, this week and in the months ahead. And Lord, give us clarity. Help us to share the things we know about Jesus and what he's done for us. And Heavenly Father, give us the boldness that will enable us to open our mouths and speak when that door swings open. Father, I know it's a daring thing, but let us experience this. Lead us in this, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.